It's time now to go beyond the headlines and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
You're damn right it is. Let's go. Give me some air horns. Oh, nope. Here we go. All right. This is C. So I got to leave the air horns to professionals like Damien. Give me some air horns. Give me some applause. Give me a drum roll. I'll take a ding and a rainbow sound. Give me the I'm a winner. We have a Brandon Ayuk update for you, everybody.
What?
In case you've been living under a rock, it's over.
Well,
Ayuk has signed has agreed to sign a contract. I don't know if he's signed it just yet, but has agreed to a 4-year, $120 million contract, $76 million guaranteed, and our national nightmare is over.
I'm so glad we don't have to talk about Brandon Ayuk updates anymore.
This is what I said on my podcast, Candlestick Chronicles, that I host with the great Chris Biederman. Download it wherever you get your podcast. I said this last night, and I'll say it again. Unless the result is objectively better for the 49ers, there was no trade they were going to make that was going to make them better this year. If they had made a trade, they would have lost the trade immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But I just I just wanted it to be done, whether it was trade or whatever. It was just, okay, are we going to be lambasting the 49ers for messing this up? Or are we going to be talking about, okay, is he going to be on the field week one? Let's start taking a look at what the receiving core looks like with him in the building. We could just now move the conversation forward since it had been at a standstill for, it felt like, a month.
Mm-hmm.
We just knew, okay, hey, there's one of these two results on the table. Now, which one's it going to be?
Now, the reporting on this, Kyle, do you believe it's the same offer that was there 30 days ago or?
Yeah.
12 days?
August 12th.
August 12th. It's the same deal?
So Adam Schefter reported that the deal Ayuk accepted was the deal that had been put on the table on August 12th.
Okay.
The reason I'm inclined to believe this is because I think Schefter probably got that directly from Jed York.
Okay, but that doesn't mean that it's 100% accurate.
But I think it, yeah, no, you're right. I believe it though.
Okay.
And I think the reason I believe it is less who the source for that info is, and is more that would explain the 49ers demeanor publicly.
Mm-hmm.
John Lynch was, we talked about it, just openly pissed.
Well, he looked bedraggled. He looked bad.
Great word.
He looked like he had, you know, we talked about it, slept on a couch.
Yeah.
On a cot.
Right. And the fact that he's talking about Trent Williams, no, man, we're really working toward a solution and there just hasn't been a breakthrough yet, but we love Trent, we respect him as a leader and da-da-da-da. Was there good communication with Brandon Ayuk? There's communication.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was just openly, like, combative, saying, hey, at some point you got to play. And to me, when you take the August 12th contract into account, and then you go back and look at what John Lynch was saying, like, at some point you've got to play. The expectation is that he's going to be there. And you start looking at all that. I think that's right. And
okay,
I think Schefter deleted the tweet or edited the tweet. It originally said 3 weeks. I think he said it had been on the table for 3 weeks, but then he changed it to August 12th.
Okay. You just want to be more specific.
To be more specific with it. So Ayuk's agent immediately refuted that report, saying this is not accurate. So, but I'm inclined to believe it, given, like I said, all the signs from the 49ers outwardly was that, hey, this isn't a negotiation anymore. We've kind of got an offer out there, and he's not telling us what he wants to do.
I do think, though, if we look at the way that that it all plays out in the end, that there's some leeway here where, you know, both couldn't kind of be right. Mm-hmm. Where the 49ers can say, this is the offer. This is a 4-year 120. But then this whole sliding scale on when he gets what money, mm-hmm, and how much is guaranteed and all that, mm-hmm, that could have changed greatly in over the last 2 weeks.
So I took it. So that's interesting because I took Schefter's tweet as, or Schefter's report, I should say, as this was the contract. Like there was no movement. This deal was put on the table and then there was nothing. And then he just accepted this deal. The tweet says, in the end, Brandon Ayuk accepted the same deal that has been on the table since August 12 per league sources. His hold-in did not alter any part of his new four-year $120 million extension. Mm. He took the same deal that had been there for the past 3 weeks, hold-in over. That, to me, says it was just a contract.
Yeah, that's definitive.
And this also tracks with something I threw at the wall a while ago, thinking that there was no chance that it was true, but hey, you know, talking points. I think maybe he just didn't want to practice.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, it would make sense. He accepted this deal the day they finished practicing for the offseason?
Yeah, but he's a young guy. He should be out there practicing.
I totally agree.
Like, and if not, then that kind of like, what are we doing here?
I'm with you, bro.
I don't know. He's having...
Should he have been out there? Yes, but look at the timing of the Niners finished practice yesterday.
Okay.
They now don't practice until, I think they get like a bonus practice on Tuesday, but their first official... They're going to turn in a participation report. Week one practice is Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So Ayuk waits until all the other practices are done and then goes, all right,
I'm in.
I'll take it.
So is he just having like this summer of Ayuk?
Yeah, he's just vibing.
He's just like, hey, this is cool.
Yeah,
I like being here but not working. This is cool.
Yeah, he went, hey, man, Nick Bosa just didn't show up until week one last year. That sounds great. I want to be, God, it's hot. I'm going to go out there and practice. I want to go to work today. Can you imagine if you could just show up to work and go, hey, my back hurts. I'm just going to hang out with the homies today, if that's cool. I'll sit in a meeting. I'll go to meetings. I'll contribute there. But hey, if you need me to do synergy and spreadsheets and things, I don't know. You need me to make calls, mergers, documents, things of that nature. No thanks.
Call season ticket holders.
Yeah, I'll get there. I'll get there when I get there.
I hope they had an ergonomic chair for him. You know,
I hope so.
If he's got the
back problem. Yeah.
Do you buy into the other reports that the 49ers had offered a third round pick to the Broncos?
Yeah.
In exchange for who?
Cortland Sutton.
Oh, Cortland Sutton.
So this dude. So Diana Rossini from The Athletic. She reported that, let me get her exact report here. Diana Rossini of The Athletic and the Scoop City podcast. The 49ers only were willing to trade Brandon Ayuk, this is again Diana Rossini, if they could get a top flight wide receiver to replace him. They offered a third round pick to Denver for Cortland Sutton and then would have dealt Ayuk to the Steelers, but the Broncos declined the offer. So this... That was kind of the loose end, right?
Yeah.
It was, you heard that the 49ers and Steelers were talking trade, and we talked about it, D'Lo and KC talked about it, the Chatty House talked about it. Anybody who followed this Ayuk thing at all went, so what are they going to trade the Steelers? Who are the Steelers giving the 49ers, realistically, it's going to help them?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they're not giving up George Pickens or TJ Watt, like what? Who on that team... And then you hear it's a second and third round pick is what the 49ers want. It's like, man, what?
That's not
And
enough.
When I heard that, that was, you know, that moment that I went to, dang, they're going to trade him?
Yep.
It was that. It was, oh, they're so fed up that they're now just trying to get draft picks.
We've had a lot of those moments, Kyle, over the last couple of weeks.
It swayed a lot. It wavered a lot. Never a doubt, though. Brandon Ayuk staying with the 49ers. So when they started talking about that, it was like, dude, they're just going to take picks. They're so done with this that they're just getting him out of here for picks. But that makes way more sense that they were going to trade him for picks and then use those picks to flip for a wide receiver who could help them in 2024. Not that Cortland Sutton's great. Cortland Sutton is pretty mid as wide receivers go.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's not a needle mover. He did have 10 touchdowns last year. But
he did.
But overall, we're talking about a guy with 4,000 yards over a six-year career, at, you know, 4,200 yards, so 700 yards a season, a little under 300 catches. just nothing that just makes you think, oh, that's going to be the guy. He's got 1,000-yard receiving season.
Mm-hmm.
But my biggest concern is, like, is he the same type of receiver? Is he a guy that, you know,
he's
yards
not.
Per catch? And he's not. I mean, it's tough.
No, he's just not. And that's and that's where, circling back to the top of this, there was no move to be made that was going to make San Francisco better in 2024.
No.
That's where the incentive was to get Ayuk up to $30 million a year, and the full structure of the deal hasn't come out. So we're not 100% sure what exactly that looks like.
It's a lot of money up front. That's what.
So it's a lot of cash up front.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean that all the big cap hits are up front. So we have to see exactly what that looks like, and if this it turns out that it's a 3-year, $74 million deal or whatever,
mm-hmm.
that would kind of track with what the rest of the contracts for wide receivers have kind of come in at.
Yeah.
So. That's kind of, we're waiting on that, and hopefully when we get that structure, we can kind of dive in and see where Brandon Ayuk landed. But man, this is the kind of contract that, why were the 49ers not just offering this the second Amon-Ra St. Brown got paid?
Well, I mean, I don't think it was that far after, if the reporting is correct. You know, probably like a week after, 2 weeks after Amon-Ra St. Brown. So, like, I just don't know why we didn't.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, that contract wasn't that long ago.
The Amon-Ra St. Brown one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
When did
it? Like, May.
Oh, I thought it was in July.
I don't think so.
I don't know. Either way, they should have got this done quicker. It's okay, though. Like,
Amon-Ra extension, April 24th.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
well,
the Amon-Ra extension comes down. Hey, all right, that's the new bar. Here's this.
Yep.
If you know you're going there, we talked about this yesterday. If you know you're willing to go there, you got to start going sooner.
Yep.
Because this stuff is for the birds, dude. And it's not just for, like, for us, it gave us something to talk about.
For three weeks.
It gave us football content throughout the summer.
Yeah.
But no other teams do this.
No.
And you could also argue no other teams are going to 4 NFC title games in 5 years. Totally fair. But at the same time, it feels like Brandon Ayuk's automatically starting this season behind the eight ball, right? Are you looking for Brandon Ayuk to play 100% of the snaps week one? Or
no.
95% of the snaps?
No, but I am expecting him by week two, week three to be the receiver he was last year.
You'd hope so.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the difference between a defensive lineman, like what happened with Bosa and what was happening with Ayuk. I think that the connection that he has with Purdy,
mm-hmm.
like it's a really good connection and it's not just going to change.
Yeah.
Like, will he have a little bit of trouble potentially getting separation early in the season?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I think, you know, explosiveness, he'll get that back quickly. And, you know, I think both Shanahan and Lynch talked about this. They're going to start him out doing like individual drills,
mm-hmm.
and then build him up like very quickly before he starts getting hit. And then, you know, he's got to get hit a couple of times before mm-hmm. you run him out there for a game. But I don't know. I think he'll be okay. What you don't want to see is like a catastrophic injury early in the season because he's out of shape and not ready.
Yeah, and that's where my concern is about him playing a full slate of snaps in week one. But we'll see. I mean. Mm-hmm. We'll get reports out of practice and how much he's doing in practice. I honestly think I was trying to go look because there was a point where Ayuk was on the field practicing. Not practicing, but on the field doing work during a 49ers practice.
Mm.
And I was trying to remember when that was because...
I think Shanahan said yesterday he never had any official... practice time with one of their staffers.
Yeah, he was just like running on a side field.
Mm.
And I was trying to remember, oh yeah, here that was on August 16th.
Okay.
That happened. So part of me wonders if that going back to the getting the contract on August 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Like 4 days after that contract gets put on the table, he just happens to be getting some workouts in on a side field during practice. And he starts showing up to preseason games.
Yeah, he kind of felt like this thing should have just finished up.
He was in the suite with like injured players during their second preseason game, and then traveled with the team to Las Vegas for their third one.
All right.
I think that's 100% correct. That contract is on the table.
Yeah, it's intriguing, right?
Yeah.
Well, either way, it's over. I think it. Luckily, we can move forward and we get to see what he looks like on the field now. And all eyes shift straight to Trent Williams. And it's like, what is Trent Williams' contract going to look like? When are they going to get that deal done? And I don't. Kyle, does the Ayuk contract make things more difficult or less difficult getting Trent Williams back?
I don't know that it has that big of an impact.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have a firm number on what you're working with Ayuk's deal and how that fits in long term. And you can only, when you're crunching numbers for the next 3 to 5 years, you can only kind of project what you think Brock Purdy's going to be making.
Mm-hmm.
And then you adjust from there. But I think we talked about this yesterday, but it rings even more true now. Whatever Trent Williams wants, you give it to him.
Yeah.
You get Trent Williams on the field. And if that puts you in a little bit of a bind 2 years from now, 3 years from now, okay, deal with it then. But you just can't be smoking games in 2024 because you're worried about what your cap situation looks like in 2027. I'm sorry, that I understand it's a business. I understand that those people make a ton of money to make those decisions. They are far smarter than me when it comes to the salary cap. Totally understand. I'm not saying I can do the job better than them. I'm saying from a philosophical standpoint, it makes way more sense to push your chips in for this year and then maybe next year and then figure out the rest down the road.
Well, I think it makes more sense too when you look at Trent Williams at age 36, 37 and mm-hmm. just understand that like his clock is ticking.
Yeah.
Like this is your window right here with this team. Like mm-hmm. there might be another window right after this. Like I'm not closing any windows and all that stuff.
Sure.
But with Trent Williams specifically, it's like, hey, man, like if you're going to sit out, like how many games do you think you have left in your career? Like maybe 40.
Well, but on the other side of that.
Yeah, get your money.
He's going to say, yeah, exactly. I might only have 40 games left. So I want to maximize my earning potential in those 40 games.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. Like no shade, not begrudging him at all. My question is, I would love to talk to the 49ers and say, what's the holdup? What is so important that you are not willing to give Trent Williams whatever it is he's asking for? And maybe it's something outrageous. Maybe he's like, I'm not playing for anything less than 4 years and $120 million fully guaranteed. That's like, like golly. Like, okay, that's yikes. Right. That's a lot. But if he goes, I want 3 years, 90, fully guaranteed, sure. We'll give you those 3 years that keeps you with the team through your age 39 season. Hopefully you play all three of those years. We're going to do our best to build a contender around you to make sure that those years are worth it for you. And we'll set you on your way.
Mm-hmm.
And if he retires and you got to eat a bunch of dead cap because you guaranteed him some money a couple years down the road, so be it. Deal with it then.
Yeah.
That's a future problem because the problem right now is that you're going to lose your season opener if Trent Williams isn't on the field.
I would agree with you.
We saw what this team looked like last year without Trent Williams. It's a very good Jets team. I do not think the 49ers can win that game without Trent Williams. And you don't want to start 0-1. Not when your margin for error is minuscule in the NFC trying to get the number one seed.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what, like getting to the Super Bowl is hard enough. If you're putting all of these like stumbling blocks in front of yourself,
exactly.
That just makes it a lot more difficult. It's like, hey, you know, how do you get there? And you know, it's such a marathon, but like you should make the pathway as easy as possible. And that means winning as many games as possible in the regular season, not going for broke at week 17, week 18, you know, with the buys and everything, but looking at this and going, okay, how do we get to the playoffs? And how do we have a number one seed and how do we, you know, manage this thing the best we can? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got teams that are coming for you. Like mm-hmm. the Rams are a good team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of good teams in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to figure out a way to, like, to get to the top.
Mm-hmm.
And what you don't want to do is, like, self-imposed, like, cuts. That's what it feels like. You just keep, like, self-inflicted wounds. This team has already, like, battled through right now. We're watching it play out. So
that's why this is so frustrating, because it's like a bunch of own goals.
Yeah.
It's like, dudes, this is not...
Sorry about that.
It's not it, man. But I will say, the vibe with having Ayuk under contract now and that just being over, the pall that cast over the 49ers,
mm-hmm.
it feels different now, which is great. Hopefully the team feels the same way. Hopefully there's no bad blood. I don't think there will be. Debo Samuel's posting on Instagram congratulating Ayuk. I'm guessing that the coaching staff is thrilled to have him back and excited to have him back. Kyle Shanahan, certainly. So I'm hoping that whatever negative vibe that created, it helps diminish it some.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, we're not going to know till week one. And if Trent Williams isn't on the field week one and Brandon Ayuk is playing half the snaps, it's going to be very, very difficult not to point the finger in the front office's direction.
Yeah, I would agree. I looked it up. Trent Williams, as of August 1st, is the sixth highest paid tackle in the NFL. So Andrew Thomas from the Giants makes $23.5 million. You got Laremy Tunsil at 25. You got Darisaw at $26 million. Penei Sewell at $28 million, and Tristan Wirfs from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 28.12. So he isn't. I mean, he's $5 million less than the highest paid. Now maybe
is
this,
that in average annual value?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in free agency. Whoops. I was at the wrong. I was looking at the wrong thing.
Yeah, in front office sports, I'm looking at.
There we go.
Yeah.
APY. Right tackle, left tackle. There we go. All right. Over the cap. Shout out. Yeah, and the thing with Trent is he doesn't have any guarantees left.
Yeah, even this season isn't guaranteed, I right?
Yeah, last season wasn't.
Oh, that's wild.
So my guess is that's where, I don't know if you'll see the numbers change that much. I think he's just going to want some of that locked in and guaranteed.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that changes. Hopefully that resolves itself soon. I do want to say tough news for Ronnie Bell. I think the 49ers kept 7 wide receivers on their 53-man roster. That included Brandon Ayuk. And it felt like 7 was in response to not knowing whether Ayuk was going to play.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be a Ricky Pearsall thing, too, where they're just not ready to play Ricky Pearsall yet because he hasn't practiced enough. But I think at some point, when Trent Williams comes back, the Niners are going to have to clear a roster spot. If they want to add defensive end help, which I think they will, they're going to have to clear a roster spot. So that's the logical cut, is that 7th wide receiver. And I think that's Ronnie Bell.
Yeah, it's either Ronnie Bell or it's Chris Conley.
From everything I understand, it's Bell.
Yeah.
But you're right. Maybe they're more confident that they can get Conley back on the practice squad, because he wouldn't be subject to waivers. They could just cut him and re-sign with the practice squad.
Yeah, I also think there's a little bit in the back of their mind that maybe Ronnie Bell can return kicks or punts in the whole new system, but it just hasn't been that impressive.
No.
Like, it's unfortunate for a guy. Like, he just did not stand out at all.
No. I think he can play in the NFL. I don't think Ronnie Bell's career is going to be over if the 49ers get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how he fits with them currently.
It's too bad. I really liked Ronnie Bell. Like,
he was impressive in the preseason.
Yeah,
last year.
coming into this camp, I thought this would be a good camp for him. And then just he was never on the same page with his quarterbacks. That was a weird thing. Like, how many routes were run wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, are you not paying attention, or are you not working with these guys? What's happening here? So very strange.
Yeah, he had some good practices. He just never strung it together into preseason games.
Yeah.
And maybe the coaches like the practices enough that they keep him around. I don't know. But if I'm just kind of looking and from my viewpoint, that's the roster spot that is the most tenuous. So and I think it gets more tenuous with Brandon Ayuk being under contract and on the field and returning to practice when the 49ers practice again on Tuesday. Real quick, before we get out, at 11 o'clock, by the way, Matt Barrows of The Athletic is going to join this program, and we'll talk about the Brandon Ayuk stuff, the Trent Williams stuff, and where all of that, where all the Trent Williams stuff stands. Again, that's Matt Barrows of The Athletic going to join us at 11 o'clock. Before we hit this break, though, some really, really sad news out of the NHL came down yesterday. Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matthew were killed in a drunk driving accident near their hometown in South Philly. Johnny was 31, played for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Matthew was 29. Johnny had 2 young kids and a wife. he, Johnny, and Matthew were supposed to be groomsmen in their sister's wedding today. They were riding their bikes down the road, and a drunk driver tried to pass an SUV and ran them over. They sustained injuries that killed them.
Yeah.
I know this is silly because everybody kind of knows it, but apparently people don't. There are too many resources to have you have to drive under the influence of alcohol. It just plan ahead, especially this weekend, Memorial Day weekend coming up. Labor Day weekend coming up. Plan ahead. Have a driver. If you're the driver, be responsible. If you can't decide on who's driving, take an Uber. Take a Lyft.
Yeah.
Take a cab. Call a friend. Whatever you have to do. Like I said, I know this is silly. Like I'm trying to break some kind of news. It just apparently people need a constant reminder. It's not worth it because you could wind up killing two people riding their bicycles, one of which was a father of two and a husband, mm-hmm. Sons, brothers.
Yeah, just devastated an entire family from top to bottom. Just absolutely tragic. He was a hell of a hockey player. His brother was a minor league hockey player as well. And this is just one of those things that, you know, it's so avoidable. And just feel for the family. And, you know, again, we don't talk a lot of hockey on the show. I don't watch a lot of hockey, but nope. We're talking about this was a 7-time All-Star.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a very, very good player that, you know, and by all accounts, even a better guy off the field. So,
yep.
Off the ice. So, horrible, horrible, horrible stuff.
Terrible news. Our thoughts are obviously with the Goodrow family, the Columbus Blue Jackets, and the NHL family as well. So, just wanted to get that news out. And again, Labor Day weekend coming up. Please, please, please do not get behind the wheel of a car if you are under the influence of alcohol, drugs, whatever. Just don't drive. Please. Yep. Please. Begging. Actively begging. We're gonna hit a break. When we come back, we'll have more Niner stuff for you. We'll got some college football last night, and we'll continue getting you ready for the NFL season coming up next week. Less than a week away from the NFL season opener, Thursday Night Football.
And we may have stumbled upon the greatest video of all time.
Great point. That's a great tease. We'll get to that as well.
Might need to lift the spirits here.
We'll get to that as well. James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
He's James, I'm Kyle. Shout out to Jiffy Lube. Wild Uber stories from Arizona.
Yeah, we have all kinds of wild Uber stories.
And Vegas, apparently. What were we going to talk about?
I think we
brought something up.
Okay, so we started down some weird rabbit hole this morning. We're talking.
Oh, that's right. Okay,
we're talking about Colorado, right?
So, yeah. So North Dakota State, Colorado last night, college football.
Yeah. So Colorado has a player who's a two-way player,
Travis Hunter,
and he's incredible at it.
He played all but two snaps last night.
All but two snaps.
He played all but two offensive snaps or all but two defensive snaps. No, no, no.
Yes.
All but two snaps in the entire game. Insane.
That's wild. I mean, he had 137 yards receiving and three touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And then he's a phenomenal defensive back as well.
Yep.
And so we kind of went down this weird rabbit hole of two-way players that maybe have played in the NFL. And
well, because the question with Travis Hunter last year was, can he keep doing this?
Yeah.
Is this a sustainable model of success for an NFL player? And I think for a long time it was just no. And we'll get to some past examples. But I think Shohei Ohtani has kind of warped all of this, where now everybody's like, hey, can this just be a thing?
Yeah.
Is the next, can we just do this in football? And Travis Hunter is, it's not, he's a great corner, and yeah, he plays a little receiver, or vice versa. He's a great receiver, yeah, he could play a little corner. No, he's like elite at both.
Yeah.
Which is shocking, and he's done it, he's doing it again against North Dakota State last night, and appears primed to be a very good two-way prospect, which doesn't happen a lot.
No. So we started going through players that were two-way players in the NFL, and like I remember Charles Woodson really wanted to play wide receiver, and he caught two balls in his career, but he wasn't truly a two-way player. He was a great punt returner, and a phenomenal defensive back.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there haven't been a ton. And then we stumbled upon Deion Sanders, which of course makes sense because we're talking about Colorado, and he's mm-hmm. a coach of Colorado, and his son's a quarterback at Colorado.
Yeah.
And I was shocked to see that you pulled up, what do you have, 36 catches one year?
Yeah, so I have this vague memory of Deion Sanders being a two-way player. Because prime Deion was right about the time I started to, like, I was born in 1990. That was prime Deion started, like, 91.
Well, he was a two-way player. He played baseball and football. So, but I don't remember him as a two-way football
yeah,
player.
Now, yeah, two-sport athlete for sure. But, yeah, and I remembered him playing a little receiver. So, in 92, he had three catches. In 93, he had six catches, then 0-2. And then in 1996... 36 catches for 475 yards and a touchdown.
I do not remember that at all.
That's like legit number three receiver.
Yeah, and it was for the Cowboys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So he was the number three wide receiver behind Michael Irvin and probably Alvin Harper, right?
Not in 96.
Oh, not that late?
I don't think so. Maybe my years are off. My mid-90s Cowboys knowledge is probably not what it should be.
Yeah.
Receptions. Michael Irvin, Eric Bjornsson, Emmitt Smith, Daryl Johnston, then Deion.
Okay.
Deion was the second leading wide receiver in front of Kevin Williams and Kelvin Martin.
Oh, wow.
Herschel Walker also on that team.
Oh, yeah.
So anyways, there's a lot to get into here, and we'll get to the fun video in a second. But I genuinely think that football teams, as conservative as the NFL is from a football standpoint, I think there's going to be a team that takes Travis Hunter and tries to play him as a two-way player. Like I genuinely think a team is going to try and harness that. A, because we're smarter about football now than we were in 1996 when Deion was doing this. But B, a player like Deion sets a blueprint that you can follow a little bit. Like, he was a legit two-way player.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was
for one season. Really.
He was a star defensive back, mm-hmm. an absolute star.
Mm-hmm.
And then a great kick returner as mm-hmm. well. I remember when he was with the 49ers for the one season, he wanted to play wide receiver. He wanted to line up, and he may have even lined up a few possessions, mm-hmm. but not that many. Like, they were like, okay, look, man, we have a really good team and a really good system. Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's a way for Hunter to be like a nickel back and a wide receiver.
Yeah, that was kind of my first thought, but the nickel's on the field so much now that.
Yeah, that's true.
You'd be playing 80% of the...
A dime back?
It'll depend, I think, on it. Yes, basically. And I think it'll depend on how a team views him, because I see people in the chat saying you're not going to be able to do this in the NFL. And I think I tend to agree. The sport is just too hard. The level of football is too high.
I don't think you can play all but two snaps.
Yeah.
You know, but you could probably play 15 snaps on defense. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Or on offense, depending on how, if a team looks at him and says, man, that we look at him as a corner, he's going to be a great corner.
Yeah.
And then we'll sprinkle him in on offense. I think that's easier than trying to sprinkle him in defensively. And I think you get more out of him that way.
Mm-hmm.
Where, hey, he's going to be on the field for 100% of the defensive snaps. And then we have these 12 plays in the playbook designed for him, and he'll be on the field for 20 offensive snaps, but he's only going to get 3 to 6 touches a game.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Unless a team says, no, he's a dynamite wide receiver, we want to keep him there. He'll be our dime back in case, you know, a team's going to just go 5 wide and try and spread us out late in the game. Pause. I think that that's how you can best manage it.
Okay.
And that's what Deion was. He's a great defensive back, and except for that 1 year, he got sprinkled in on offense, except for that year that he was catching 36 passes.
Yeah, it's wild. And I think most of that, he wasn't lined up as a conventional wide receiver all the time. He was lined up like they would do wide receiver screens. They would do different things like
the Deion.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have familiarity with the Cowboys offense.
Yeah, because even like you mentioned, like all of their other players, like Eric Bjornsson, tight end, Daryl Johnston, fullback. Like they had a lot of like conventional, like I don't know, pro style run guys out in the pass game.
Yeah.
So it was Michael Irvin as their star wide receiver, and then a bunch of randos.
Yeah, Charles Woodson also did a little bit of two-way stuff, although I remember him being more prominent as a receiver at Michigan. In his last 2 years at Michigan, 21 catches for 370 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, damn it. I did not have his football reference page up. I wanted to see what he did as a pro. There we go. And then as a pro, he had 2 catches for 27 yards, and those were in his first 2 years with the Raiders.
Yeah.
So it doesn't happen that much.
No.
Because it's really hard. And so as impressive as Travis Hunter is, and this is not a taking something away from Travis Hunter, I think he'll genuinely be viewed. And I think through the draft process, that's going to be a big talking point, is, hey, what position does he play? He worked out as a corner. He worked out as a wide receiver. These teams view him as a top wide receiver prospect. These teams view him as a top corner prospect. Or maybe it'll settle that, yeah, he's a middle-of-the-road receiver prospect, but a top-flight corner prospect. I don't know.
They'll figure something out.
Yes, and yeah. I think that whatever team takes him is going to try as best they can to maximize his two-way usage.
Totally.
If it's not, I don't think it'll be as prolific as it is at Colorado.
Yeah, probably not. But I think that there's still an opportunity for him to play both ways at the NFL level. Yeah. So while we were doing this, my brain instantly, I recalled there being a Raider who was first a wide receiver and then became a defensive back. And it was Ron Brown. It like popped into my head really quick. This happened with Ron Brown. So Ron Brown was a wide receiver with the Los Angeles Rams in the 80s and early 90s. And then he was okay. He was really fast. And then so we looked up, I was looking up Ron Brown. And I forgot that he had won the 4x100 relay at the Olympics, at the Summer Olympics in 1984, right? Mm-hmm. And then we're looking at it, and it's like, yes, we find this season where he actually stopped being a wide receiver, was signed by the Raiders as a defensive back, played a year as a defensive back, and then went back to the Rams the next year. It's still a kick returner. My recall of him, super fast, not really great hands. And they had great wide receivers around this time, like Henry Ellard, I believe. And then even heading into like the Flipper Anderson era, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but then hiding at the bottom of his football career bio on Wikipedia is this weird addition that Brown appeared in the 1984 Rams promo video, Let's Ram It.
Which is wild.
That's a wild name. Where he went by the name Speedball Brown and claimed to be the fastest man in town. And we're like, wait a sec. So, you know, I think we're talking about this moment where like the Super Bowl shuffle happens a year before with the Bears.
Right.
Right. Good. And so all the teams are trying to come up with their own version of the Super Bowl shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have it, Kyle?
Oh yeah. It's a quick Google search, and we found the 1986 LA Rams Let's Ram It video. Incredible stuff here. Luckily, there's audio associated with it. So you're listening on the radio, check the video later, but you'll get an idea just based on the sound of the music. Again, we're talking hip-hop 1986 here. And just know, if you're listening on the radio, or if you're listening on YouTube, but you can't watch at the moment, just know that there's dancing involved.
And this is real.
This is a very real thing.
We're not like making something up.
We didn't. James and I didn't get in the booth and record this today as a joke.
No,
this is real. Here we go. Incredible. Running out of the tunnel, no pads on.
Cheerleaders.
The cheerleaders. I mean, the fist pumping. Oh, that guy forgot the dance. Why did 21... Why? Hang on, stop.
That's Eric Dickerson right there.
Pause, real quick. Pause to all of that, but pause the video, literally. Why is number 21 in the front? Look, it's very clear what happened here. My man, number 21, don't even know who it is. I guess I could theoretically, we have the technology to go see who number 21 is. Number 21 is... Nope, must play defense. Where is he at? Nolan Cromwell, Nolan Cromwell, the
Hall
starting,
of Famer.
The starting strong safety. I wonder if he's related to Oliver Cromwell. Fascinating historical figure, Oliver Cromwell, by the way. But anyways, he got beheaded after he died. They exhumed his body to behead him.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy. Oliver Cromwell, not Nolan Cromwell. Anyways, yeah. Moving on. They put Nolan Cromwell front and center, A, because he was probably a star.
Oh, yeah, he was a superstar.
And B, he looks so enthusiastic to want to dance, but cannot dance. A, no rhythm. B, not totally sure he knows the choreography. Just based on what we're watching here, watch. I'm gonna rewind this a little bit. Watch my man here. This is him right here, number 21, struggling. All right, here we go. What's that guy doing? Swim moves in the back.
I don't know. You got Eric Dickerson front and center.
Jamming.
I mean, 1,800 yards rushing this season.
I'm shocked. Oh, Big Bad Jackie. Here we go.
Jackie
Slater.
It's
a solo.
Bad Jackie and I'm starting this off. The Rams get done, so nobody score. And don't you worry, cause the Rams are rapping. When game time comes, we'll be back to zapping. We can't sing and our dance is not pretty, but we'll do our best for the team and the city. So get on your feet and clap your hands. Let's ram it right now with the LA Rams.
Hollywood.
Do you think he wrote that? Is this did the Rams media like marketing team write this? Do you think they went and hired someone from LA, like a rapper in LA or a writer in LA to write this? Or do you think they said, hey, we're doing a video. If you would like a verse, write a hot 16. And Jackie Slater went, yeah, I'm in there.
Oh, man.
It's kind of bars, to be honest. All right, now here's we're getting to our guy, Ron Brown, here in a second. Who started all this?
Okay, and then Nolan Cromwell is next.
Nolan
He's
Cromwell's
got the
about
solo.
To spit. Yeah, here
yeah.
we go.
Hollywood handsome, Dodge City tough. If you throw it my way, it's gonna get rough. I like to ram it, as you can see. Nobody likes ramming any more than me.
They call me Jeter. Nobody dresses sweeter. But under this cool is a quarterback mistreater. I come from the end, looking for the sack. I don't stop coming.
It's the southern ass accent. Oh my god. Like
they call me the demon on special teams. I know how to rock from the toes to the head. When I pull the trigger, I'll knock you dead.
I'm a mountain man from West VA. They call me Herc, and I came to play. I learned long ago if you ram it just right, you can ram it all day and ram it all night.
It's the point to the sky. And what is this? Why are they in the stands now? What's happening here? If the Rams were real ones, they would recreate this video. I'm Puka Nakua. I'm here to say. Okay, here we go. Here's our guy Ron coming up. What Speedball Ron? Is that his name?
Yeah, Speedball Ron.
Daddy Hill, take a look at my stock. I catch what they throw me and I like to block. I'm quick off the line as I can be, cause I don't want Dick running over me.
Whoa!
Here
he is. Here he is. Get him, Ron.
This is RB, no Speedball Brown. The fastest man in the whole damn town. Cars and ladies are a part of my creed, but more than that, I feel the need for speed.
This is... So I would love to continue this. This is a 5.5 minute long video. When we first turned this on, I wasn't paying attention to the to how long the video was. And yeah, that guy mentioned that he didn't want Eric Dickerson running over him, but that's not what he called him.
That's
that
right.
is a thing that that was said. So when I first clicked on this, I went, oh, this will be a funny little 90 second. No, 5.5 minutes long this video is. And it just, it's more the same. Oh, there's cheerleaders dancing again. A saxophone solo? Do we think he's actually playing? If you're watching, if you're listening on the radio, this is a Rams player standing in an empty stadium. Is that the Coliseum?
Maybe?
I don't know. He's just standing in an empty stadium, and they're zooming out as he plays a sax in the empty empty stands. That's what's going on there. Oh, we got a transition from the sax to the cheerleaders. Yep, there we go.
I think he's playing.
I think he's actually playing.
Here, I'm a pumping iron man. If Eric can't get it, I will and I can. I'm strong.
That's enough. That's enough. If the LA Rams are real ones, they'll create that. They'll recreate that video. I need 2026. I'm gonna call everybody I know who might have any contact with the LA Rams and tell them Media Gold.
Media Gold
would be 40th anniversary coming up. 2026.
I'm trying to figure out who wrote this. And it's just, it's ridiculous. We're going to have to figure this out. Like, this is one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Wait, there's a 76ers song?
To be honest with you, we have to be cautious because we're now finding that they're not appropriate.
Dude.
So I don't know if you need to go back to 76ers.
Lazy, do you know what it's called? Is it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Sixers? This seems right.
Yahoo, they actually did an oral history of Ramit, just so you know.
Who wrote it?
It was in 2016, Frank Schwab.
Okay. I'm trying... Get a hold of somebody who is involved in that story.
Okay.
I have so many questions.
Yeah.
Lizzie, is it this one? The Sixers also have a song? Let's see what's cracking. Okay. The Converse, the Chucks. What in the Schoolhouse Rock is this?
This is some crazy stuff, Kyle.
I'm just a bitch. Yes. Stomp your feet. Stomp them. Everybody. Hey, Lazy, this is getting rough. I need the song to start. Here they come. Philadelphia. Philadelphia. Is that it? All right, Lazy, you don't get to suggest things anymore.
Yeah.
That was not as fun.
He loves his song. We get it, Lazy, but...
Yeah, no, if you're a Sixers guy, I totally get that being your jam.
Yeah.
I was expecting, like, Dr. J to rap or something.
Oh, I think I did figure out that the guy did not actually play the saxophone.
Boo!
As part of the oral history.
Frauds.
Cromwell was asked... I'd never danced before.
That tracks.
And then there's also a wondrous clip of Slater, the great Rams tackle for many years, playing his heart out on the saxophone. It's even funnier now after his teammates confirmed that no, Slater could not play the saxophone at all.
Yeah, but he pantomimed the hell out of it.
He faked it like he could. That's what Irvin said. Yeah.
Faked it till he made it. Love that.
Yeah. Spectacular. Jackie Slater was incredible. I mean, they have a bunch of Hall of Famers in that video.
Yeah, they do. It's weird because when I was growing up, like the first Rams team I remember being good was the greatest show on turf. So when I first started following football, the Rams were terrible. Again, we're talking.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Vince Ferragamo. So, and then Eric Dickerson was absolutely incredible.
Of course, there's a Super Bowl shuffle.
Yes. We've completely lost our way, but sometimes...
No, we haven't. This was the planned segment, bro.
That's true. That's
we
true.
Haven't lost our way at all. We did exactly what I wanted to do here.
When you find a video like what we found, I think you have to play it.
So, David said that he sent me a Raiders...
A Raiders
song.
A silver and black song?
Is it The Autumn Wind is a Pirate?
Oh.
Oh, Silver and Black Attack, also from 1986.
Oh, see, I think this was a thing.
Yeah.
I do think it was a thing.
Hey, real quick, we got a break in a second. But yeah, I think no, I'm done with Matt George songs. I don't want any more Matt George songs in the universe. There's two, and that's enough.
We don't need to double down or triple down.
Triple down, even. Apparently, NinersWire.com redirects to the wrong website.
What?
In an era where I'm paid on page views.
Oh, Kyle.
My website doesn't work.
Oh, Kyle.
That's so sick. Yeah, go to NinersWire.com right now. And where does that take you?
Oh, Touchdown Wire.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Great way to bolster return readers. Is to make sure they know exactly. NinersWire.USAtoday.com works.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm mad, bro.
Oh, you got to figure this one out,
I'm Kyle. Actually mad.
You got to figure this one out, Kyle.
Yo.
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 Oh, my goodness.
Can you imagine if we were like, hey, go to ESPN1320.com and it just took you to Odyssey? That's basically what's happening here. Touchdown Wire is like the NFL-wide wire site.
Yep.
So there's all 32 teams, Touchdown Wire and Draft Wire are the 34 NFL sites.
Hmm.
Touchdown Wire is the one that oversees the whole league. Draft, obviously, oversees the draft. Easy work. That's ridiculous.
We've got to get to the bottom of it.
We do.
I'm with you 100%.
I'm mad online and offline. The good news is you're not going to be mad when Matt Barrows joins us next. He covers the 49ers, used to for the Sacramento Bee. Now he does for the Athletic. Not many people more plugged in than Matty Barrows. Can't wait to talk to him about Brandon Ayuk. What's going on with Trent Williams? Is Trent Williams going to miss week one? It's a possibility. We'll ask Matt his opinion next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.